Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how he's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good. Good, Pastor. How are you doing?
Tired. Yeah, keep it real. Yeah, we're a little exhausting as of late. Gentlemen, this week on Word Made Flesh, I'd like to explore the topic of evangelism. As of late, we've been studying pretty intensively character transformation. And we would see ourselves trying to be formed into the character of Jesus, right? As 1 John says, you know, they're going to recognize who we are by our love. You know, we're going to walk the talk. We're going to do what he did, say what he said, all those type of things, so that we can become truly human, we say, all right? If that's the case, then would you agree that Jesus was an evangelist?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. That was... this is radio, gentlemen. Nodding your head does not work, okay? If that's the case and he's an evangelist, what does that look like? How do we define that? All right, so... the scripture I've chosen to kind of examine this little segment comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 16 through, I think we said, about 21 or so. This is, for Luke, Jesus' announcement of his mission. This is what his life, death, and resurrection is going to be all about. All right? So, could someone read that for us, please?
I got it, Pastor. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Right, everybody went, and the crowd went nuts, right? As he spikes the ball in the end zone. Okay, thanks, Mark. All right, gentlemen, what's your first impression? What jumps out at you?
Well, to me, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. It's within me, and then I'm to display him to others. To me, that's a form of evangelism, by showing God through me, you know, being who he originally designed me to be.
Okay. Good, good, good. Anybody else? First impressions.
Yeah, on top of that, what Mark said, he has anointed me, and that's opening my eyes so I can see. Let myself be led by the Spirit, I guess you would say. Because I've come to a new way of looking at Christ. A lot of it's the teaching here at the mission through you, Pastor Steve, and our many teachers that come in on a weekly basis, and they brought me to a new level of knowing Jesus, and it's one I'm thoroughly enjoying trying to live. I mean, it's not easy, but it's a new way of life for me, considering what my life had been like, and it's very rewarding. I can get down for a moment, but then I can talk to somebody else, and it's going to bring me right back to where I need to be. And I can talk to them about God and how he's working in my life. And as like Pastor Nate said, you know, evangelist, Am I a recruiter or a proclaimer? And I'd rather say I'm a proclaimer. I like to carry the message. My family's seeing it in me. And it's just, I don't know, such a glorious feeling inside to have that, being led by the Spirit, trying to mirror Jesus Christ as he was. And he still is, because he's alive inside me and all of us in here that want to accept him. I mean, it's a real eye-opener here at the mission.
Okay. Anybody else? First impressions? All right, so I'm gonna presume, I'll open this by saying, are we going to make the presumption that Jesus was evangelical, that Jesus was an evangelist? So we're gonna say yes, okay. We probably have a couple words we need to define or redefine, right? Was Jesus a recruiter?
So
to some extent, maybe we need to define this euangelion, this good news, all right, that's being shared. So gentlemen, now having spent some time at Lenawee County Mission, what would you define the good news is that you encountered here? Hopefully, it parallels the good news that Jesus is bringing.
Like inclusivity for all, like everyone is included in this.
Okay.
But just life, like healing. I don't know, these are just things that have happened in my life, like encountering Christ, like just brought healing, just knowing that, you know, God's love for me.
He specifies as a context that, that this good news is directed towards a certain audience. And who's that audience?
To the poor.
Good news to the poor. Now, we're not just talking, in this context, we're not talking about just those who are economically disenfranchised. Biblically speaking, the poor includes that, but it's not limited to just that. We tend to, in our capitalist mindset, think rich, poor, and we say money. Those with money, those without.
Right. Hey, you mean poor in spirit? I mean, when I was out there using, drinking, and drugging, I was a prisoner also, you know, and very poor in spirit, you know, real down on myself all the time. And I meet Jesus, he's opened my eyes to where I'm not that anymore, you know. I don't listen to people who's putting me down. I listen to him lifting me up.
Yeah, there's... The poor biblically means those who are most vulnerable, most susceptible, right, to being trampled on, stomped into the ground, all these type of things. Those who are being denied access to the resources they need to have the fullness of life that God intended them to have. All right? And that there are certain systems, domination systems, that are oppressing them, that are preventing them. All right, they have the barriers, the gates, the fences up that excludes them. You're talking about inclusivity. It keeps them out. All right. So this proclamation of good news is really a proclamation, a heralding, a bringing, all right, of a message of justice. All right, that the way the current system is operating is unjust. Right. So, how do you see that resonating in your life?
I think it gives me hope.
Good.
I think hope is a very, without hope, we'd be in some trouble. So I think, you know, his teachings and stuff, like you said, people put, you know, there's fences up and you know, but we don't have to look at it like that. We can look at it like through him, there's a better way to live your life, you know? And you can, you know, it doesn't always have to be hopeless. But, you know, just follow him and you'll be rewarded, you know, to some extent.
There's a gate to the fence somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recently read an article, right? sociologically speaking, currently in the United States, the highest rate of mortality is falling in the age group of the baby boomers. And what they're discovering is because of the financial, the economic, all the pressures that are put on the baby boomer generation, that they have the highest rate of suicide, depression, and desperation. Probably because we don't have a whole lot of hope. Well, then begs a question, you know, how are our churches doing in instilling hope in people's lives? I gotta believe it says at the end that Mark read, well, no, we didn't do that, did we? Because the verse right after where you stopped, verse, and all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. It's kind of like they all went, yeah, that's our boy Jesus. Yeah, they're all really happy about what's happening and excited for this proclamation, this bringing of glad tidings, we could say at the birth announcement, this happy news. So if you're poor, if you're hopeless, what good news makes you happy? How is the news good?
It's finding a different way of life, which is more gratifying than the ways of the world. I mean, I don't have a lot, but I've had a lot in my life, and I'm more content inside. I can give more love today. I can feel compassion for others today that I never knew when I was just all about me. Today, I'm very content where I'm at, and I don't need the material things to make my life good, to have fun with it, to have joy in it. Today I have a nice peace, a calmness, what I can share about myself to help other people, mm-hmm. take his good news outward, and hopefully that's going to help somebody else. Hopefully it's going to bring somebody else closer to Christ so they can carry the message also.
Yeah, when Jesus says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me to bring good news. Good isn't just that it's a positive. Good means it's the right news. And the receivers of the right news will benefit, right? Those who aren't welcoming this right news might be a little heated. And so I think we look at the recent, you know, past couple centuries and how we've had this paradigm shift in how we now interpret evangelism. Right, and what the good news of that that evangelion, that good news, most popularly in the kind of this warped theology is an afterlife. Right? Do we really think when we look at the life and the ministry, if this is the announcement of Jesus' mission, that we see him walking around going, "Hey, Mr. Leper, I got some good news for you. If you follow me, if you'll accept me as your personal Savior and Lord, someday when you die, you'll go to heaven." And Mr. Leper just started doing jumping jacks. "All right, I'm going to heaven. All right. I still have leprosy. I'm still not welcomed in the city. I'm still not welcomed at the temple. I can't stay with my family. I'm on the streets. But when I die, I'm going to heaven." Is that really good? Is that the right news that Jesus was sharing?
No, but we're here to show them the kingdom that's here on earth at this given point in time.
Well, and I think, you know, when we were talking, when you opened up, speaking about recruitment, right? Sometimes when we talk about soul saving, from that perspective, it kind of rubs our rhubarb a little bit. We don't really see ourselves as being that type of recruiter, right? But we might be inviting people to participate in a way of life, right? That's very radical. And by radical, I mean it's root. It's the source of grounding that Jesus was really sharing. from that perspective, it becomes very empowering, and it tends to be an empowerment that bubbles up from the bottom. Right? It's from the bottom up, not from the top down. And those who are pretty comfortable at the top, in all kinds, whether it be just economically, socially, politically, relationally, anyway, they might be a little agitated. They may become a little uncomfortable. But somehow or another, you know, when we start sharing, proclaiming, bringing, and not so much through word, it's word and deed, we might make some people nervous. Since you've been at Lenawee County Mission, have you encountered that at all?
I'd have to say, yeah, in certain instances, because people that see me changing, even family members somewhat, they're nervous about that part because of my old way, you know, and some like it, some don't. Friends, a lot of them don't like it. So that's on them, you know. They can either be around me and hopefully grasp something from me, some of my change in life, and hopefully they'll pick that up.
And there's probably a parallel there, Jeff. I mean, if we stop and think as we wrap up the segment, if Jesus was just going around kind of sharing the good news, the right news was really about, you know, getting your family to heaven, why did that upset so many people?
Because of the way they had to get there.
My point is, he wasn't doing that. I don't think people would have pursued him. I don't think they would have persecuted him. I don't even think they would have crucified him. They would just say, here's some guy talking. Because it's not going to change anything. There's no change here. Everybody's just waiting around until they die and go to heaven now. Pharisees wouldn't have been upset about that because the temple institution and the law and everything else would have carried on the way it was. Rome wouldn't have been upset about that because people would still have to go to work. They would still have to pay taxes. They'd still have to do all these other things. There's no rocking of the boat there. He's not tipping the cradle at all. Are we rocking the boat? Are we tipping the cradle? Is the Spirit of the Lord really anointed upon this land? Upon our individual lives? Something to think about. Well, thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate you joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019. Until next week, may God's grace and peace be yours.